And welcome to Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, I've decided to tackle one topic, one that's very hot both amongst the foreign community and Albanians, and that is the real estate market. From renting property to buying homes throughout the country, this is a very hot topic. And I have invited to the studio today two experts to discuss the matter in a bit more detail. First up, we have MP Lavdrim Qureshi, who has actually lived and worked in the UK with a speciality in housing. And I have Reynaldo Piperia, a realtor and the chief executive of the National Albanian Real Estate Association. Welcome to Inside Albania.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Now, we were already getting into quite a heated debate before the cameras started rolling, so I hope we can keep this going. So I've brought you both here today to talk about the property situation in Albania. I am a member of lots of expat groups on Facebook, and one of the main topics at the moment is foreign people. Should I invest in Albania? Should I buy property here? I want to buy property here, or I want to rent an apartment. And also now increasingly, oh my God, the costs are so high, the prices have gone up, what's happening, etc. Now, I looked on Instagram and Facebook at lots of real estate agents, and there was such a wide variety on offer from what I consider quite reasonable. I understand Albania is becoming more popular now. People want to invest here, so prices are going to go up. But these are just a couple of examples I found which particularly stood out to me. So in Nizhny Dyetor, area of Tirana, a 1x1 68 square meter apartment for 138,000 euros. And it wasn't anything really fancy, you know, it wasn't sort of gold plated or anything like that. It was a standard looking apartment. In Ali Demi, not far from where I live, 112 square meters, 2x2, 230,000 euros. Again, not, it looked modern, but it was quite cheap, in my opinion. It wasn't sort of high-end designer. Comuna Parisit, a 2+1, 113 square meters, 259,000 euros. This is high. If you think the average Albanian person is earning sort of what, 500, 600 euros, something around this a month in Tirana, these prices are pretty high. What are your thoughts on these? You must have seen these on social media as well. Lavdrim, to you first.
All these figures you have quoted, it reminds me of the United Kingdom, England, perhaps not London so much, but the rest of the country, where you can find properties at far cheaper rates than you, what you have just quoted, and definitely far more affordable or cheaper in terms of purchasing properties. Now, I have my own views, of course, because I'm my own self, although I'm attached to a political party, I'm attached to a public body or institution. In my view, what happened in Albania, because we have to put some context into this, what happened in Albania in early 1990s, what it was what we call a privatization of the housing stock, which is similar to selling council homes in the United Kingdom, which is extremely well regulated, and people know exactly what to expect and when. And they also know, the reason why that is done is because the government has a responsibility to create a market that is affordable for more and more people in the society. Of course, there are issues, things that have gone wrong there, but overall, it's a quite regulated market. As we know in the UK, and I'll draw some comparisons here, in the UK, you have the main legislation, which is up and running and current even to this day, started in the 1970s. For us, Albanians were very proud because, I'll tell you a little story, one of the main reasons why the Homelessness Act was introduced in 1970s was because of Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa visiting the United Kingdom, London precisely, just after she was she won the Nobel Prize. And when she visited London, she was astonished by the high number of homeless people living in the streets of London, especially. And when she went to meet the Prime Minister, I'll cut it very short, to meet the Prime Minister, she went off record and said, could I talk about homelessness and can you do something about it? And as a result, We have the Homelessness Act 1977 in the United Kingdom, which addresses the issue of homelessness. Now, if I compare that to what happened in Albania in early 1990s, the entire housing stock dwellings were publicly owned. And I'm talking about towns and cities, not the rural areas. What they did here, what we did, because I'm, of course, part of this, we decided to sell it to owner-occupiers, but at an extremely, extremely low rate. Mm. So a massive reduction. In the UK, for example, when you sell council stock, you sell at maximum, you can get a discount of 70% of the value, but it's capped at £100,000, mm-hmm. which in terms of figures and numbers in London, you're really talking about at a discount of about £100,000. So for a property worth 500,000, you can purchase it for 400,000, which is still very good value for money when it comes to public bodies and institutions. Here, they did completely the opposite. They sold it for peanuts. Mm-hmm. They sold it for nothing.
Yes.
They sold it for about £100 on wow. average, that is. So people could purchase a property. And in Albania, the standard is, just like in the UK, we have a standard of a three-bedroom property when we refer to properties. In Albania, they refer to a property which is about 100 square meters, mm-hmm. which is about 70 square feet. So when they sold it to owner-occupiers, they sold it so cheaply that it put this number of people, of course, the individuals who were already tenants, they benefited massively from it, but they only represented about 30% of the population. So mm-hmm. that means that 70% were the have-nots and 30% were the haves. So those figures that you are quoting, for example, in terms of rent, and they refer to new-built properties, but also old properties are just as expensive, sometimes even more, yes. because they are in better areas, in more central.
Yes.
Now, this is the discrepancy that we have had. I only brought this as an example just so that we understand where the housing market in the UK is and why that is the case and why the housing market in Albania is and why this is the case. So for me, this is the key. Mm-hmm. What happened in early 1990s, in my opinion, shouldn't have happened. However, what has gone under the bridge will never return
back. We can't
undo
it.
We need to focus on what we can do in the future. We can follow, and I can say this with great pride, we can follow the British example, which means more involvement from public institutions, central government, of course, in terms of taxation, but also local government. Mm-hmm. Now, there is no difference today between Tirana and London and Tirana and many other cities in the United Kingdom. It may be slightly different when it comes to smaller towns and villages, rural areas, but in terms of urban areas, you can follow the British example.
Yes.
One of the reasons or one of the things that we don't do in Albania that is done in the United Kingdom is, firstly, there has to be definitions. What is affordable properties? And for different people, it's different. So if you get a young couple, for example, as you referred to in your introduction, it is very hard for them to get in the property ladder. Mm. But that is the case in the United Kingdom too.
Yes.
But there are ways of dealing with it.
There are schemes.
There are schemes that mm-hmm. are promoted by central government. And when I say promoted, of course, it means a financial commitment. Mm-hmm. That is a commitment to the taxpayer, because at the end of the day, it has to be funded by the taxpayer, but also local government. When it comes to housing, we have to do something in Albania about housing benefit, because so far we've addressed mm-hmm. the market, so the purchasing. The renters is a big sector too. Mm-hmm. A lot has to be done, and we can draw on the example from the United Kingdom. Other European countries are no different, with minor differences between others, between them. But what we need to do is we need to put a minimum level. What we call in the UK is the universal credit. So if you fall below a certain amount of money every month or every year, then the state must intervene. It doesn't mean that you are employed. You could be employed and still be entitled to some tax credits. But of course, if you are unemployed, you can be entitled to it as well. And what it needs to change here is what we call in the United Kingdom local housing allowances.
Yes.
In here, they call it reference price, extremely high prices. But if you put local housing allowances that can enable people to rent in the private sector, it even goes into the purchasing sector as well. But at least for the private sector renters market, we need to regulate so that people who are below, it's not their fault that they are below the level. It's all of our fault. It's the government fault. It's the public's fault. It's all of our fault if there are people who live in poor housing, people who live in unaffordable housing. And it is our responsibility to make sure that it is affordable. Generally speaking, there is a misconception in Albania about social housing. They think that social housing is housing for the poor. That is not the case. It is completely different. Social housing is there to make sure that it plays a massive role in regulating prices, both for the renting sector as well as the sales.
Which is where you come in.
It's obvious that the government has a lot of homework to do.
All governments have a lot of work to do.
And for sure, because of being in Albania, we lack a lot of data. For example, if we talk today, if we try to find it publicly, we don't know how many dwellings do we have all over Albania. How many titles do we have all over Albania? What is a plot? What is, I mean, free plot? What is agriculture? What is, I mean, apartment building? What is villa? So we are trying to discover the market and to talk about about the market, but we lack a lot of data. For sure, that figures, they are part of the reality, but then the reality is not all
not
about
just that. Yes.
Not just that. So we can go from Fresco to Combinat area, and you can find 750, 800 euro per square meter within the ring, the traditional ring.
But this is getting less and less, and the more people see prices like this, the more they're going to...
It's getting less and less, and if we see the 23rd, I mean, last year we saw that the prices has been like increasing a bit more quickly, especially in the suburb area. And plus, we need to understand that there are a lot of reconstruction projects because of the earthquake that has... So, all of that demand has been like going in that part of Tirana. For sure, within the ring, prices goes from 1,500 euro per square meter to
the sky 2000. Is the limit.
I wouldn't say that the sky is the limit. The highest price that we have seen in the sector has been like 4,500 euro, 5,000 euro per square meter, which there are only few buildings like that. Yeah. So we can count. We can go around Tirana. We can see there are only maybe 5 buildings in downtown area. I mean, if you can tell me more than 10 buildings with 3,500 euro per square meters, I will be surprised. There are few of them, only few of them. The general price, if we say about the average price in Tirana for buildings built up prior 2015, is around 1,200, 1,300 euro per square meter. The new dwellings start with 1,500, 1,600, and it goes.
But you're not counting as well these projects which are currently still being built, but they're being sold off plan for very high.
Yeah,
so then it becomes
We need to understand. So, I mean, the real estate cannot be done out of TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. So we need to hire a professional, a realtor, to make calculation and to discover us all the options. And if you go from the Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, to the reality, for sure, it is 20-30% less.
So you think a lot of these people
is not the real price, especially if the property goes above 3,500, it is too difficult to be sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is why we have the legislation. Yeah. So it's been introduced in 2022, the new legislation for the real estate professionals. So now it is a time in Albania, like it is everywhere in the Western, go and hire a licensed realtor, and he will tell you all the options and the reality in the market. Yeah.
What I think needs to happen in Tirana, let's focus on some solutions because identifying the problems is the easy bit.
The first solution is go and hire a licensed realtor.
To explain to people who are listening as well, how we've got here, because there is a lot of debate. I have people saying, well, it's supply and demand. People want to buy, they want to buy. But then we have, 40,000 empty apartments, you know? So people want to know 35,000. Why prices are going up.
Lately, I mean, December 23rd, 35,000 apartments, not empty. I mean, apartment bought.
That's in Tirana only or all of the country?
In Tirana only, 35,000 apartments of people,
That's one for every 10 of the population.
Exactly. Sold, but with zero consumption of electricity. This is how we count.
Yeah.
Part of that, there are people which are living abroad, which already have. So when they left Albania, and we've been talking a lot this year, people are leaving, but nobody is telling these people when they're leaving. Are they selling their properties? No. Let's see how much of them, because the future, I mean, when you leave the country, you need to understand if it is going to work there or not in the country where you are going. So it is unsafe.
People normally don't uproot and they leave the country, but they want to have their roots where they are.
And this is the Albanian way,
so
at least.
The Albanian way, no, it's a human
everywhere.
Way.
Okay.
It's everywhere. It's a human way. What I wanted to say is...
But let me explain the 35,000 a bit. I mean, it is people which...
How can prices be going up so much?
Let me explain the 35,000 and then the prices. So part of that are people living outside of Albania. They didn't sell... their apartment. They are part of the owners of the property plot. So when you exchange your property to a property developer, 40% of the new building, it goes to the property owners, to the plot owners, to the landlord. So part of that, and when we said landlord, so if you are building 100 units, 40 units goes to the landlord. All of these units, we cannot say that they are going to the market immediately. So some of them may be closed, may be empty, because I do have three children, so I'm keeping that for my children, or I will send that in the market when the price has been...
They're buying for investment purposes.
Yeah. And another thing that can explain another part of that, it is for sure stock of the construction and developing companies, which they're keeping their inventory, like in ADR, in any other business. So I'm keeping my inventory so the prices will go a bit higher. So these are at least three factors that can somehow explain these 35,000. It's not everything that. So because this is what we try to understand out of data. Regarding the pricing, we need to know that from 2008 till 2015-16 has been almost no constructions, no developments in Tirana. So it's been a demand for 7 years. There's been an accumulated demand that it came in a point of time that people goes in the market. There is a supply by the other side, so they've been like trying to invest. So other things are, we have been seeing, at least in the seaside area, a lot of foreigners. 25% of foreign direct international investment in Albania, they are coming for the real estate sector.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that has been the financial sector. So if we go back in 2008, 2010, we didn't have such a supply from the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
So we know today that 400 million euros come from the financial sector directly to the real estate. I mean, to the new apartment, plus some easy loans from the central government and from the local government, like Tirana municipality. So there are two, three different factors that are somehow. Somehow empowering this supply. We have been seeing the remittances has been like growing year by year. Part of these remittances go to help the families, the young families. And you know that the housing in Albania, it is a problem, not only individual problem, but it's a matter of family and maybe a matter of a bigger family where all together comes and try to help the new couple to get their new.
Yeah. But how much have prices gone up? Let's look back 10 years, 5 years, 1 year.
Let's say the highest. So if you talk about Tirana, so back in 2008, the average price in Tirana was 800 euro per square meter. They went down to somehow 650, 700 from 2008 to 15, and then they grew up again.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about so we try to divide the existing stock and the new entry stock. The existing stock went to 650, 700 euro per square meter in 2015, and now it is approximately 1,200, 1,300 euro per square meter. Because even the quality of construction, the way of being constructed, they've been like changing a lot from 2015, especially after the earthquake.
Yeah, anything still standing is worth investing in.
exactly, they passed the test, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I agree with all of those things that you said, but for me, and having higher property prices is not a bad thing.
Hmm.
It's in fact, it shows that the economy is growing and it shows that the policies that are being followed are working. Now, there's no policy that is perfect. There's no law that is perfect. Nothing in life is perfect. My main issue and concern is when we build, for example, in Tirana, let's focus on Tirana because this is a third of the country in terms of population,
yes.
but also in terms of housing. It's about those areas you refer to, regeneration areas, mm-hmm. where there is a regeneration, there's always a need for regeneration, but it should be done with everybody in mind. So helping more, of course, helping all those foreign investors, even Albanians who live abroad who can afford higher prices. But it's about making the properties generally more affordable for those that live here. Because at the end of the day, we all need teachers. We all need police officers. We all need engineers and other professions. If prices keep going up in the way in which they are or have been going for the past 10 years, or indeed 20 or 30 years, then you're driving these people out of the big city. So that means less services for us.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how rich, how flooded in you are with money. You need a teacher for your kids.
Of course.
You need a police officer to protect your everyday life. You need public services. Mm-hmm. But those public services, we know how much we earn. We know average salaries in Albania, as we know everywhere else. If you take average, and I know we are aiming as a government to go for 900 euros a month, which is very good. It's before tax, by the way. It's
gross.
Not after tax.
Gross. So gross. We talk about net with it's 23% taxation. So.
Albanians only talk about net, and they only talk monthly, unlike in the UK where we talk yearly income, and it's
because we think short term.
I wouldn't say. I'm just comparing. So this is where local government, municipalities can interfere, can intervene. For me, not all regeneration projects can be had in privately owned land.
No.
There's a lot of publicly owned land where we can regenerate the area, getting housing associations involved, but also getting the private sector direct involved through tenders, which has to be transparent, etc. But also the local authority itself, where they can negotiate, because the big name nowadays is, or the word is, negotiate. Of course, you have to negotiate. When you negotiate, the truth is always in the middle. It's never one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by negotiating is you can negotiate with all these housing associations. In here, they simply call them, in Albania, we simply call them building contractors. It is not as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Housing associations play a massive role where you allocate a certain percentage of properties to certain people. You can even go in certain areas, you can go, let's allocate to teachers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the schemes you're referring to.
So yes.
Special schemes for teachers, special schemes for public sector.
Well, people on
a
low income.
Special schemes for low
income. If you want to
people.
Build this tower block, you have to give 10% of the apartments to social housing.
Yeah, in the UK, we actually start at 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our starting point.
Yes.
And often we go up. Of course, in central London, say the equivalent of a block here in Tirana, you may stay at 20%. You may even go lower. But in other areas, I'm shocked personally at the property prices in suburban areas within Tirana. Extremely high.
Yes. I grew up in Cornwall, and I lived there at a time it came on the map of the UK. It had always been popular as a tourist destination, but it became gentrified, it became very, and there was this huge divide between the locals and the people from upcountry. And it became a problem that people were buying second homes in this. It's a coastal region. They were buying second homes. And that priced locals out of the market completely. There wasn't enough property for local peoples. And what started happening was the government was building estates, not council estates in that sense of the word, but new builds, etc. And local people were having the first refusal at purchasing the properties at a certain price. And this was allowing local people to remain, you know, in the areas they wanted to stay in.
They need to provide
and
services.
Because you end up, there were places in Cornwall where during the winter, during the autumn, ghost town, every house is closed. There's only a small amount of people left because the locals could not afford to live there. In Malta as well, I lived there. They've gone through a crazy housing boom as well. They have schemes where you get assistance, preferential rates with banks, etc. when you buy your first property, but you don't with your second. I think you pay a slightly higher rate of tax as well. In the UK, there's the unoccupied.
Absolutely.
You pay if you have a property that is not occupied, you know?
We are trying. I mean, there is almost 2 years now that we are trying to talk, trying to sent several proposals to the Ministry of Finance, especially regarding taxation and capital gains, and I mean, all the scheme that will help normally the middle class of the society. So I know that within the city, especially when we're talking about that prices, they are really nice location. But within this nice location, you have a lot of communism area buildings, which cannot come to the market, or if they come to the market, they have a high burden of taxation because of this stupid thing called 15% when you sell your property. And this is just, this is pushing. If we check the statistics from the cadastral office, National Cadastral Office, Ashokoya, we see that for 23rd in Tirana, there is a decrease of 20% of the transactions, selling and buying, because the biggest part of demand is going toward the new buildings. Why? Because the old buildings, they are not anymore attractive. Because if I want to sell my old apartment, I need to have this big gap between the buying price at that time, the selling price today, that in our area, if it is 1,200, the reference price. And then for this big gap, you need to pay 15%. So maybe the gap, it is 100,000 euro, you need to pay 15,000 euro. And this 50,000 euro is going on top of the selling price. So the life is being, so if I'm a middle class, I cannot afford this because it's being more and more, so more and more difficult. So what I do go to the financial sector and I take a higher loan,
mortgage,
higher mortgage, and go to the new building. At least it is it is new. So this is becoming more and more.
I think the old buildings are built better, personally.
They are built better, but you need to invest. Even you get an old buildings. I mean, you are living in old building. I'm living in 40 years old apartment in old building too. So I know that in the end of the day, I need to put some more money for for the acoustic insulation and isolation and everything. So plus the high burden, taxation burden, so they are not any more attractive. If you ask, I mean, to Narea, for sure we are toward the fair housing. And it is time to talk about fair housing, property housing in Albania.
The word there is time, because it's going to get to a point where of no return.
It is the time. Now, do you know why? Because the renting, the average renting price in Tirana has been growing up 35%. Do you know why? Because the Airbnb things that is like going everywhere around. I mean, 17,000 units already listed in Airbnb. So from the long-term market to the short-term market, you have a lot of homeless people that will go to rent, or we have a higher burden through a financial sector. But there is a point, there is a limit there.
I think the policies that we need to follow should be inclusive rather than divisive, because for the next 5 to 10 years, in my opinion, is crucial for us. And what I mean by that, it's not just one government that does it. It's successive governments that have done what they've done. But in order to resolve it for the benefit of the majority of the people, I know that not every single person in the country would be satisfied with whatever policy we introduce, but make people more involved, to consult people more, and to build more social housing. But I don't want people to misunderstand this, because I find this left, right and center in Albania, where they think that social housing is housing. There's a lot
giving
of
giving away
free housing.
Exactly. So it's free housing and it's poor quality housing. So if in the United Kingdom you give services to everybody from local government, now the way you give the service, you should never, well, we do never make people think or believe that we are giving something for free in the sense that they don't deserve. They deserve everything that they get. That's what we need to do in Albania too. We need to change our mentality, because a better housing for the whole population is better or less spent expenditure for the National Health Service, for example. Less expenditure for the education service, less expenditure for police service, because if you have better housing, you'll have far less, for example, domestic abuse. You'll have people living in better quality, so there'll be no need for local government or central government, for that matter, to intervene with social security measures, etc. And of course, there will be a healthier population, so they will need less doctors to see less doctors. Bless them, we need them all the time, but we will not need them for things that
we can avoid. It has a knock-on effect. Now, I want to, because this is, I should have booked a 2-hour slot for this conversation, but we have a time limit. But I do want to talk about something else. There was an article that came out this week from the Times newspaper in the UK, which I think was a bit unfair in some points, but raised many, many important points as well. It talked about the construction boom in Albania, which, I mean, you've mentioned there has been a boom in recent years, and I mean, anyone with eyes can see it. But the article attributed a lot of this boom to what it calls dark money. And this, we had someone from the National Crime Agency in the UK saying that money earned through organised crime in the UK is partly being sent back to Albania and being used to fuel construction boom, but also to purchase property as well. Some of the figures, 3.7 billion a year invested in Albanian construction and property, 15% of the GDP, but only 847 million of that passes through the banking system. That could be 2.85 billion in dark money. They mentioned as well the number of empty apartments. People need 64 lifetimes to save up to buy a small flat. But they're basically saying that the rate that construction is happening in Albania, there's something amiss here, and that money is coming from the UK, from the proceeds of crime, and is fueling this situation. So those are some quite serious allegations that the Times has made. What are your views on this, and what's the reality?
Well, obviously, the Times has must have done some due diligence to come and write that article. What I would say is, based on what I actually see, what I hear while in living in Tirana, I wouldn't say that a lot of the money that comes and feeds the construction industry is dirty or filthy money. I don't think so. There is a lot of, referring to the United Kingdom, there's a huge Albanian community there, the vast majority of whom are very law-abiding citizens, and they work very hard, and sometimes they save, and that feeds into the construction industry here. And it goes the same for other countries where there is a significant Albanian diaspora. Then there has been, as my colleague was mentioning earlier, there is an increase in demand from foreign nationals trying to purchase property, especially in the coastline. But now they are coming to Tirana, also going even to areas that I represent to the north of the country, mm-hmm. because tourism in the old days, it used to be seaside. Nowadays is more historic, it's hiking, mountains, nature, etc. So for me, the vast majority of this money, whatever the amounts are, I'm not familiar with the figures, but whatever they are, there may be an element that comes from, I don't deny, there may be an element that comes from illegal areas, but this is why we have agencies like the National Crime Agency in the UK, mm-hmm. and the equivalents in Albania, whose responsibility it is to identify when such money is entering the market. And it's actually contaminating the industry. It's a very good industry. Alice, we must remember that in Albania, for 50 years, we had very poor housing.
Yes.
So we had, I know we're going back to the very beginning of the conversation, but we had only one area block. The only area that was, you could really call housing.
Good conditions.
The rest of the stock was appalling. It was in very bad conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are building a good quality housing, yes, at a very expensive rate, at a very, very expensive prices, and not affordable for mm-hmm. a lot of people. But there are mechanisms, there are ways which can make it affordable, both in terms of taxation, but also interfering or intervention from local government to make it more affordable for a wider group
yes.
of people. But then, of course, it's a supply and demand area. It's we've come from a society where one person actually, or maybe a very small group of people decided what happens to every single one of us. Nowadays, it's supply and demand.
Yes.
So it will play its role.
And the last
point. Yeah, for me, it is like we need to understand that we have a great part of the economy, like that is everywhere. We know that countries like Albania in Western Balkans, because of the mentality, because of the coming from the communism area, we do struggle with a great part of the economy, which, as far as I know, it is 30-35% mm-hmm. of the overall economy. So when you have such a huge part of the economy in the gray market, So for sure, there might be some misunderstanding and there might be rooms, loopholes for crime money. But we need to carefully study and really carefully estimate and trying to find where are the loopholes. Mm-hmm. And I do go back to the taxation because a high burden is like incentives you, it's just empowering you and trying to say, okay, you cheat the government because why you will pay 15, 20, 25% of taxation, let's try to cheat the government. And when you start with cheating the government, you don't know the end. So it might start with 5,000 euros, but it may go much, much more. Yeah. So in the Balkan mentality, we need to understand a lower burden of the taxation, a wider taxation base. This is how we work. I
can see where you stand, but when regulations are introduced, when legislation is introduced, the main law that is missing in this country is a law that says apply correctly every single law.
That's the caveat.
Exactly. But so why should Albanians? I think Albanians are no different to the British, to the Germans, to the French, to the Americans. We are exactly the same. So if a law is introduced, I don't think that Albanians look for loopholes and look for ways to not to apply the law correctly and to basically not pay taxes. And we are citizens that understand the law and apply it correctly. But for me,
it's like if I'm not paying taxes, I'm not promoting do not pay taxes, but I'm just promoting have a fair taxation. So I'm not giving what should be given because I do think that this is not fair.
So you think it's too high?
For me, 15% of the
prices are very high.
It starts with a capital gain taxation.
Okay.
If we do fight
you know
and correct
what it is the United Kingdom,
I know what it is in Italy, 26%.
Exactly. So it's higher.
You know, no, it is higher, but there is some exempts. So if you sell your apartment after 5 years of owning it and after 5 years of staying in that, like primary residence, there is zero taxation. So no incentives to cheat the government. Why? Because
I think we have
I'm going
to
declare the right price.
Albania's property market is a lot younger than these other markets, you know, and there are a lot of other different factors at play here, including these loopholes in taxation, in crime, in black money, all of these various things which come into play in Albania. It's sort of like a hypermarket. It's gone from zero to 100 very, very quickly. And I think now, more than ever, like now, today, yesterday, is the time that we have to start putting these measures, these changes, these policies in place, because otherwise we have a demographic problem in Albania. Yeah. People are leaving and this is going to continue unless it gets better.
Something gets done and it gets better, which...
Let's see. We could talk about for many hours, but we're out of time. And I'm sorry. I wish we could continue because I didn't even get through half of the things I wanted to talk about. But thank you both very much for your time.
Thank you, Alice.
Thanks. That's all for this week. Due to ongoing Formula One, our time slot is a bit flexible at the moment, so you can follow me on social media, Alice in Albania on Twitter and Instagram, to find out exactly when we will be broadcasting the show on TV. Otherwise, it's at 5 o'clock on our YouTube channel every Saturday and across all major podcasting platforms. Until next week, Miro Pavshim.